Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? That's good to hear. Hey, if I haven't met you before, my name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at Community Life Church, and it is so good to have you joining us this morning. Who got some eggs from the Easter egg hunt? Bunch of people. Good. I've heard that we have so many left over. I'm not sure if I was supposed to say that. Sorry, Sue. But we have a lot left over. So if you didn't get one, make sure you grab one before you go, because that's what Easter's about, right? It's about chocolate. No, it's about a bit more than that, right? See, I love Easter for two reasons. The first is, of course, the chocolate. Surely we love Easter because of all the chocolate. It's the only weekend where it's socially acceptable to eat as much chocolate as you want, right? What's not to love about that? But there's a second thing that I love about Easter, and I just want to spend some time this morning, just a few minutes, unpacking why we celebrate Easter. If you know, someone who goes to church, or if you go to church yourself, then you know this is a big weekend for us. And so, I'd love to spend some, just a few minutes unpacking why this weekend is so special. Have you ever had that feeling before of just like that feeling of like, look, something's just not right here? You know, maybe this morning when you got up, you put your shirt on backwards or something and you're like, no, hang on, that's not right. And you had to take it off and put it around the other way. Was that just me? I'm not sure. Or maybe it's like when you get that milk out of the fridge and, you taste it and you're like, something's just not right here. It's just that little bit sour. It's that little bit off. And you're like, yeah, that's just not right. Or maybe, I don't know if you've ever had your friends throw a surprise party for you or something, and they're acting a bit strange and a bit weird beforehand. You go, something is just not right here. This is very, very strange. We all know this feeling, right? When things just don't feel right, they feel mismatched, they feel wrong. And I wonder, when we look at the world around us, do we have the same feeling? There are so many things in our world that just don't feel right. You don't have to look far to see that our world is incredibly broken. When you look online, you see that there's wars and conflicts all around the world in places like Ukraine and Gaza and Iran. We have conflict here in Australia as well. There's things like famine, drought, natural disasters, social injustice, sickness, illness. And on a person-to-person level, we see addiction in people, greed, people mistreating each other, broken relationships, broken families, and mental health is rife at the moment. Our world is full of hard, dark, painful things. And when we look online and we hear about all these things that are going on in the world, it can be quite overwhelming, right? But we also know that it's not just things in the world that are broken, but often we can feel like there's broken things in our lives as well, or in the lives of those around us too. You see, I don't think anyone would look at our world today and go, yeah, this is how things should be, right? No one would look at that, at what's going on in the world or in our lives and go, yeah, this is exactly the way things should be. Instead, we all have this ache for something more, this desire for something more than what we see. Just like how when we're hungry, it points us towards food, or when we're thirsty, it points us towards water. We have this ache inside of us that we want something more in the world. Well, the Bible, which is God's way of speaking to us, this book talks about a world just like this. You see, our world wasn't always broken, it says. At first, God created a good and wonderful world, a place that was in unity, in harmony. It didn't have the brokenness that we see in the world around us today. People knew their Creator, and they knew they were loved, protected, and provided for by their Creator God. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in a world like that, where everything is right, where everything is the way it should be, where there's no longer brokenness in the world, where we're not damaging the world around us, where we're in unity with each other, and where we're all safe and known and valued and know that we're looked after. So why is the world no longer like this? I want to tell you a story from when I was in year 7 to help us understand that. When I was in year 7, I remember it was my very first art class, right? And so I was in year 7, I was very fresh and I wanted to try my best still. You know, by the time I got to year 12, I think the motivation had dropped, if I'm honest. But in year 7, I was like, I'm going to really try my best here. And in our art class, the teacher said, look, I want you to draw this picture of some bottles at the front of the class. And so, you know what? I don't think I spoke to my friends for the entire 10 minutes that we were given to do this art thing. You know, I'm just like focusing on my paper. I do some practice sketches on the side before I start. I'm rubbing out all my mistakes when I'm doing it, and I'm starting my lines over again when they're just not right. I'm putting so much effort into making this thing. Anyway, after the 10 minutes is over, I put my pencil down. I probably wipe the sweat off my brow, and I breathe a sigh of relief. I've done it. It's not perfect, I will admit that, but it's a pretty damn good job. And one of the greatest compliments ever, one of my friends looks over and he goes, oh, that's actually pretty good. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a year seven boy, but to get a compliment from one of your mates in year seven, that's like the biggest thing ever. So I knew that he meant it. Anyway, the teacher explained, we're going to get our drawings, put them at the front of the classroom, and we're going to take turns adding to someone else's drawing. Okay, sure, I'm thinking. Look, it's pretty perfect already, but you never know. Maybe someone could add something to it, and maybe it might even make it look better somehow. That was not what happened. One of the other guys in my class stomps over, grabs my drawing and takes it. You know, I take someone else's drawing, and while I'm adding to theirs, I'm kind of looking over to see what he does. And he has this pencil, and what does he do? He just scribbles all over my drawing. And the teacher comes over and says, what are you doing? And he says, oh, I'm drawing a tornado. A tornado with a picture of bottles. It's ridiculous. See, I've created something good, something that, in my opinion, deserved to be in the Louvre in Paris next to the Mona Lisa, right? And now it was destroyed by someone else. Why? Because he was doing his own thing. And he thought his idea was better than mine. Now look, I'm not sharing this story just to try and get back at this guy later. I'm totally over it, okay? I promise. I'm sharing this story because this is just like what's happened to God's perfect creation. See, the corruption, the brokenness that we see in the world around us today is because of what we call sin. When God was in charge, we had a wonderful world. But we wanted to be in charge. We wanted to use the world for our own benefit instead of following his way. Through humanity's selfishness, through humanity's greed, it became all about us and about what we wanted. You know, look after yourself before others. We see people doing that today, right? Choosing their ways above others. Because humanity decided to choose our way instead of God's way, the harmony in the world was broken and sin, darkness, and death entered the world. It's like we've seen God's created perfect world and we think, oh, I think I can do this a bit better than God can. And we've taken our pencil or our marker and we've scribbled all over his creation. And this corruption and damage we see in the world, it's not just in the world, it's also in us as well. Because of our sin, because of our brokenness, we aren't the way we should be. We are sinful beings. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all gone against God and failed to do what he wants us to do. And immediately when I hear that we've all sinned and gone against God, my mind fills with so many things that I've done wrong. You know, so many of the sins that I've committed as I've contributed to the brokenness in this world, as I've hurt people in my life, when I've done things I shouldn't do and I've left undone the things that I should be doing. And I wonder if you can think of some of those things from your life as well. The punishment for that sin is brokenness, it's damage, and it's ultimately death. But thankfully, God loves the world. He loves us way too much to leave it like that. And that's what we celebrate at Easter, because 2,000 years ago, God himself came to earth in the form of a man in order to change everything. Through Jesus, he reached down to earth, walking among us and showed us a light in a world covered in darkness. Jesus walked, and as he walked with people, he taught about the value of loving others. He spent time with those that were sick and needy and outcast from the rest of society. He ate with them. He loved them in a personable way. He showed a kindness that is so rare in a world full of damaged, hurting people. And you know, people actually mocked Jesus for what he was doing. They called him a friend of sinners. And that's exactly what he was. He saw those that deserved no love for what they'd done, and he loved them anyway. He was their friend. He saw those that were sick and injured, and in his divine power, he healed them. He restored them and gave them a new chance at life. And as he walked this earth, he taught of this coming kingdom of God, he called it, this kingdom where all would once again be set right. He said this kingdom is on its way, and it would bring hope for the hopeless, healing for the sick, restoration for the broken, and new life for all who chose to be part of it. And then Jesus did this amazing thing. We've talked about it already. He died on a cross. And as he died, he took the punishment that we deserve for our sinfulness. It's because of the things that humanity has done, that we have done, that have gone against God. Our world is broken and we've cut ourselves off from the one who gives us life. And so our punishment for our sinfulness is death. But God himself came and took our place. This isn't because of anything that we did, you know. No matter, it's not because we've, you know, said the right things or done the right stuff or because we've been good enough. This is completely and utterly because God loves us. He loves his creation. And through his death, we're freed from the chains of sin and brokenness that restrain us. And then what happens after Jesus dies? He rose again, right? And we see in this passage that was read out by Ange before moments ago, on the third day after his death, some women go to check on Jesus' body, fully expecting him to still be in this tomb, by the way. But what did they find? He was no longer there. See, Jesus proved through his resurrection from the dead that he is more powerful than the world's brokenness. He's more powerful than sin, but he's more powerful than death itself. And he came back to life. And what emotion do the women and disciples of Jesus have when they see that Jesus has risen from the dead? It says in the passage, it says they were afraid, but they also had so much joy. And so at Easter, we celebrate the joy of Jesus' death and resurrection. And because Jesus' death and because Jesus died and was resurrection, this means three things for us really, really quickly. The first thing is it means we have new life. When we choose to put our trust in Jesus and follow him, we're restored from our brokenness and we're given freedom from our sins. We have new life through him. Just as Jesus came back to life, we can find new life in him as well. And this is on offer for all of us, no matter who you are or what you've done. If you want to experience this freedom, this life, this restoration that can only be found in Jesus, then the first step is choosing to follow him and believing that he has taken the punishment we deserve through dying in our place. When we decide to put our trust in Jesus and follow him, we can find restoration and purpose, freedom and healing and life. That's the first thing. Jesus' death and resurrection means we have new life, but it also means that there's restoration in the world through his death and resurrection. See, as we look at the brokenness in the world around us and in our lives and in the lives of those that we know, not only does Jesus shine his healing, restorative light into our lives, but as we follow him, we kind of become like mirrors, right? And he uses us to reflect that light into the world around us. We're given this grand purpose as followers of Jesus, as he uses us to mend the brokenness in the world and bring restoration and hope. And the third thing, through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have eternal life. Because more than this, as we follow Jesus, we know that death is not the end. Just as Jesus had life after death, we too can look forward to a time after our passing when we can join God in heaven. We can join him for eternity and finally, finally be in his good creation, where there'll be no more sin, no more pain, no more death, and no more brokenness. So this Easter, my encouragement to you is this. If you need hope in a hopeless world, if you feel broken or hurt, if you're searching and in need of answers, know that in Jesus there is hope. In Jesus there is healing. In Jesus there is purpose and there is life. Let me pray for us. Lord, I want to thank you for the things that we have talked about this morning. Thank you for this Easter season, which causes us to pause and reflect on your death and your resurrection. And I want to thank you for the healing and the restoration I've experienced in my life and that many of us out here have experienced. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to restore us and restore our broken world. Help us to turn towards you, whether it's our first time doing that or whether we've done it many, many, many times in our lives, Lord. Help us to turn to you this Easter. And as we do, Lord, I pray that you would give us new life in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done, and we want to praise you this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.